No one is pleased about this legislation, except evidently the Cabinet, who decided upon it. I think they were trying to soften this legislation to make it more appealing to pro-life people. I think that's why you have the 14-year sentence, for example, for someone carrying out an illegal abortion, which some people are saying is very harsh. I think that was an attempt to say to pro-life people, look, we are being serious about this, but the government has seriously misunderstood what pro-life people are saying. Pro-life people are saying, a little bit of abortion is not okay. You know, allowing for the abortion of a perfectly healthy child because the mother is experiencing suicidal thoughts, that's not okay. And that's something that the psychiatric community have repeated before the Oireachtas committees. They've said, look, abortion is not a treatment for suicidality, for suicidal thoughts in pregnancy. It's not a treatment. So I think that's where the government have fallen down on this. Everyone thinks and believes there needs to be clarity for doctors when they can intervene to save the life of a mother where there's a risk to her life as a result of pregnancy. And I know there was some discussion between doctors. Some thought there was no need for that clarity. Others thought there was need for that clarity. So I think everyone was convinced that something needed to be done, but introducing abortion of perfectly healthy children, I think that's something that pro-life people understandably find very distasteful.
Minister Riley did say, though, that in defence, that he would have the right to direct the suspension of services if he felt that abortion was being carried out unnecessarily, that he put that proviso in, if you like, for saying, well, listen, we're not going to just open floodgates here.
Yeah, there is that provision within the legislation. Quite how it's going to work practically, I'm not sure. The health system as it is an absolute chaos. I mean, we're spending a fortune and getting, frankly, very bad results from the health system. So the idea that the Minister for Health, amidst all of that, is going to have the time and energy to closely monitor how this law is being implemented, I don't think it's plausible.
Do you think it is opening floodgates?
I'm not sure I would use that language. What I would say, though, is that the experience internationally has been that where abortion is permitted in limited circumstances, I mean, abortion was permitted in France on mental health grounds. There are now 200,000 abortions a year in France. The international experience has been that whenever it's introduced in a limited fashion, it becomes much more widespread. I don't see anything unique about Ireland to shield us from the international experience. I think if that's what has happened in other countries, that will inevitably happen here too. I think it's a nonsense for a lot of pro-choice people to be saying that they don't believe that this is open to any abuse whatsoever. I think there is potential for abuse in this. I think there is potential for a campaigning psychiatrist, a campaigning obstetrician to become known informally as someone who will sign off on an abortion for a woman who feels that it's in her best interest. I think there is an inevitable possibility for abuse, and I think people dismissing that are either being naive or disingenuous.
They've also left room for conscientious objection.
They've left room for conscientious objection in a very limited fashion, I would say. What they say is that, you know, no doctor, nurse or midwife would be forced to carry out an abortion. Well, big deal. I mean, you'd only expect a totalitarian state to force people to do things that are directly against their conscience. But it does necessitate that those doctors, nurses, midwives, that they would refer the person on to someone who will provide the abortion for them. So that is asking them really to be part of procuring this abortion, because really the doctor's left in a situation where he's going to say, well, I have a conscientious objection to it, but here, I'm going to pass you on to my colleague who will facilitate that abortion for you. So it's a strange understanding of conscientious objection, saying, okay, you don't have to directly be involved yourself. I mean, if you look at the very famous example of when we had conscientious objectors to war, for example, it's like saying, well, look, you do have to go to war, but you can drive the truck with the other soldiers in it rather than actually have to shoot yourself. It's a strange, very limited notion of conscientious objection.
And the other thing that people pointed to, which wasn't addressed, was the viability of the fetus. They didn't really even look at that issue. That issue hasn't come into play.
The issue of the viability of the fetus is key to this, and I'm amazed that it hasn't been more prominent in the discussions. What we have the situation now where right up until birth, pregnancies can be terminated if a woman is experiencing suicidal thoughts. in a late term pregnancy, the only way to terminate a pregnancy is to deliver the baby. We're going to have the situation, the very real possibility under this law, that that will happen, that children will be delivered where they have the chance of survival outside of the womb, but that's not guaranteed. That increases dramatically the risk of disability, that increases dramatically the risk that they'll die much more quickly than would have been the case had they been allowed to go full term. And I think what we're going to see is the very real probability that in 10 or 15 years to come, lawyers on behalf of children who were born early and as a result of that have very life debilitating conditions and conditions that necessitate lifelong care, I think we're going to see lawyers going to the courts on behalf of those children seeking damages, because that decision was made at the state's behest, the decision which left those children with a permanent incapacity. I find it frankly amazing that there has been no discussion whatsoever about that. This is called the Protection of Life in Pregnancy Bill. But there's been no regard given to the life of the unborn child, no regard given to the life of the fetus. It's frankly a bit of a lottery.
It seems to be the will of the people, though, or at least Enda Kenny says he's legislating as a Taoiseach and as a leader of the people. And he made the very famous statement of saying he's a Taoiseach who's Catholic and not a Catholic Taoiseach.
The Taoiseach must legislate for what he believes is in the common good. To be honest, you know, cliches about, you know, I'm a Taoiseach who happens to be a Catholic rather than a Catholic Taoiseach. I'm not really sure exactly what that means. I mean, if he's trying to make some kind of point that he has to legislate for all people, well, that goes without saying. I mean, anyone in public office has to legislate for the common good. I suspect it's something else that's at play. On the opinion polls, it would seem, looking at the opinion polls, that this has a widespread support from the public. I would question some of the way the questions are asked of people. I think the assumption in the question in the Irish Times was that abortion is a treatment for suicidality, or abortion somehow helps women who have suicidal thoughts, when that's clearly not the case. I think when the questions are asked in a much more neutral fashion, then we get very different results and we get much more equitable results. I would say the only way to accurately test the will of the people is to put this to a referendum, rather than frankly polling companies calling people up in their homes, 1,000 people at random, and you know, putting questions to them that are loaded with presuppositions.